You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Last Wednesday, Gray's Cathedral hosted an event that got national attention, a Beyoncé Mass. It might seem like an anomaly, but the Beyoncé Mass is just the latest in Grace Cathedral's non-traditional programming. It holds labyrinth walks and yoga classes for hundreds of people. Its Wednesday night program, The Vine, combines progressive readings of scripture with popular music, with special programs like a Sister Act Mass and a Bluegrass Mass that ran the same weekend as the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival. The director of Innovative Ministry, Pastor Jude Harmon, says this programming hopes to show that God lives in places and music usually considered secular. I sat down with Pastor Harmon last week, and he told me the Beyoncé Mass came out of a desire to embrace people who don't always feel welcome at church, and to put front and center a practice called womanist theology, which interprets the Bible with an eye towards empowering women of color. Tell me about, well, who thought of this? When did you think of it, and why?
And so I really need to give basically all the credit to Professor Yolanda Norton. She is an amazing woman, a brilliant scholar and teacher. She is an assistant professor of Old Testament at the San Francisco Theological Seminary, and she teaches a class called Beyoncé in the Hebrew Bible.
Beyoncé in the Hebrew Bible.
I mean, isn't that amazing? Don't you want to take that class?
It's a class.
I know, isn't that so cool? That I wish I had so classes great. Like that in seminary. And Beyoncé, like what she's actually doing in her music, she begins to really unpack some of these questions of agency and of redemption, of what it means to have hope in a world that is so broken and fragmented, frankly, by broken men. That's a very important piece of what she explores there. And also of a spiritual landscape that is so, that can be so toxic, frankly, for women of color.
So tell me about the Mass. What should people expect? What will happen? Is it Beyoncé music blaring and people praying?
It's all Beyoncé music, actually. Songs that I think deliberately push the boundary between the secular and the religious. Mm-hmm. There's that gorgeous song, Flaws and All. And, you know, when you hear those lyrics in the context of a church, it's like, well, who is she talking about? Is she talking about Jay-Z? Is she talking about God? Is she talking about someone else who affirms her in the midst of her own brokenness? I just think it's amazing that as an artist, she holds that brokenness with such love herself and actually can model for us, frankly, what that means, because it's not just that we're supposed to love others, but we're also called to love ourselves. And that is, I think, again, the central work of womanist theology. How do women of color learn to love themselves in a culture that just doesn't always love them the way they actually deserve?
I've been asked time and time again, why Beyoncé? I believe Beyoncé because she reminds us that sometimes you have to do your thing your way. You don't do it on demand. You don't do it for your oppressor. You don't sing when they want you to sing. You sing when God tells you to sing. Never give them your song.
For those in the bondage of classism, we need
freedom, freedom, I can't lose, freedom, I can't lose.
For those in the bondage of patriarchy, we need
freedom, freedom, I can't lose, freedom.
Now, there are some Christians who say, worship should just be worship. You know, don't draw on all these questions of justice. And I would just say, from the start of Scripture, all the way to the end, questions of worship and justice are completely and inextricably linked. There is no way to separate them out.
What do you want people to take away when they leave this Beyoncé Mass?
First, I really hope it's not a flash in the pan. I think the real heart of this service is to say, we want to start a conversation. We want to start a conversation because Black women's voices are too often marginalized in every part of our lives, and they're too often marginalized in the church. And so our hope is to say, for those of you who don't know that church can be a place of refuge and life and hope, this is our moment to show you what that can be like. And to those of you who have experienced church as other, this is our moment to say, you know what, let's issue a challenge to the wider church. And let's say we can actually live at a higher standard for ourselves. And that's what God expects of us. God is constantly asking us to hope for more for ourselves. There are people literally all over the country who I think are thirsty for this. The church does not do this enough. The church does not say, we can lean into these questions of justice. We can lean into them full-hearted, not afraid of what comes up. And we can do so in love and still have fun.
Mm-hmm. That's a rare message.
That is all possible. Mm. That is actually all possible. And so that's really our hope.